Hello and welcome. This is the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. This is Ben.
I'm Craig.
And this is Tank.
Anybody got any good stories this week?
I've got something to share. It's not exactly the same as broken down cars and things like that are a little bit funny and amusing at times. Although, how's the bill going for that, Tank? I'm sure it isn't that funny for, you, for the person who actually has to deal with that.
Yeah. The final total is $3,000, and it will be fixed tomorrow. So, pretty rough.
Man, right. I'm sorry to hear that.
That's not good, but it's better than $5,100, right?
It is, yep. Yeah. I brought it to a transmission shop, and they're like, we don't have to replace the whole thing. We can rebuild it.
Yep, sweet.
We can make it better, faster.
So, speaking of rebuilding old things, not that this has a lot to do with rebuilding. Oh, it kind of does. Yeah, so it's my 30th birthday today.
The
day we're recording this. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
I'm getting pretty old. Thank you. And it's my wife's 30th birthday in 2 days' time. And so, we are having a... And it was our wedding anniversary yesterday. So, it's kind of a busy weekend for us. But that's all right. We planned it that way. Apart from the birthday thing, which you can't plan. But we are having a big party here today because we don't do birthday parties very often. Last one we did was at 21, and we just thought it was a good opportunity to have some family and friends around, but it means we've got about 70 people coming to our house this afternoon to our outdoor area to kind of hang out and eat food and stuff, so it's kind of a big thing. So all week, like my wife and I are on school holidays at the moment, we're both teachers. And we've just literally spent, you know, from sort of 7:30 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night with breaks for meals, working on the house, just cleaning things up and tidying things. And that probably makes us sound like hoarders with a really dirty house. It hasn't been that bad, but
I think we've gone
a bit overboard. Like, it's like we're selling the house and we're trying to make it look as good as it possibly can, sort of thing. So, and there's a, that's weird to me. I'm like, why are we taking, like, it's good to take pride in things, but are we taking too much pride in this? I've been having to sort of debate with myself about how much work we should actually do on it, but yeah, it's been kind of fun. So, very tiring though. So I'm looking forward to this afternoon because then it'll all be finished and we'll just be able to enjoy the party, hopefully. So,
yeah. Nice. In light of last week, should we sing happy birthday to you?
No, that's legally. Okay. I'll take last week's and replay it. And
okay, great. Yeah, just replay Derek's section from the end.
Yeah, I felt like that was for me last week anyway. Just, you know, the interaction at the end there. You'd already said goodbye and stuff, and Derek came on and sung. So it's fun.
Speaking last of week, Derek, did he sing the Emperor's New Groove one?
Yes, he did at the very end.
That's kind of funny because I wonder if that's copyrighted. So
yeah, we said that.
Instead of singing the one that is now legal. Oh, we did.
Yeah, we said now Disney's going to be the ones who are
winning
the copyright money.
That was a week ago.
Yep.
Just trying to use the same joke again.
Speaking of Derek, listeners may have noticed that he's not with us this week, and we should mention that between the four of us, we may roll on and off as the weeks go by, depending on our hectic schedules. Obviously, well, some people may not know, Derek had a child, beautiful Rainy May.
And our
Derek's
fifth co-host.
Wife, technically.
What did you guys say?
I said she was going to be our fifth co-host.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
And I said it was technically his wife that had the baby, but, you know,
shouldn't really
need to point that out.
But that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not with us this week, but he'll be back next week. And we will also have a fifth person next week. More on that later.
I just told them who it was. My bad.
When?
Rainy.
Oh, no.
Our fifth co-host.
Okay. Yeah. It won't be Rainy.
So, are we telling people Derek's baby's name, or like, are we doing the proper announcement thing? Does anyone know weight and length and all that stuff?
I don't know the weight and the length, but I did tell them her name.
Yeah, cool.
He's going to find it hilarious that we talked about his child so much without him here.
He's also probably going to be like, you got it all wrong. This is how long she is. Why didn't you know that? You should have known. We're not very good friends if we didn't get that information, but oh well. Sorry, Derek. I'll take the blame for that one.
All right, that brings us into Tech You Should Know this week. A couple of weird tidbits to start off. Verizon is trying to rebrand turning your phone sideways as, quote, Go 90. So guys, let's go 90 this week. They've developed a new app that streams music, movies, videos, news and stuff. And it's all horizontal video because vertical video is lame, I guess.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, the branding of it is kind of funny. I don't know if you need a whole brand for that. But at the same time, any effort to make people realize that vertical video is from the pit of hell is okay with me. Like, you know, turning your phone sideways, if you need some kind of cool brand name click to do it, then that's cool. Let's go 90. Let's get those videos looking like they're supposed to.
Craig is on board. I'm not on board. A few weeks ago, YouTube allowed for vertical video on YouTube on their mobile apps. I feel like that was the direction we should go.
But why? What is the good use of vertical video? There is none.
People don't record everything in horizontal. They just don't.
So if people are wrong, we should encourage them to be wrong by just making their wrongness seem more normal.
I'm not sure it's wrong.
No, it's wrong to do vertical video. It really is.
Also this week, have you guys ever played, it's not Trivia Crack, it's called Quiz Up.
Nope.
Yeah, Quiz Up. No.
Nope.
Craig, have you?
No,
they even have that in Australia?
Not really. If it's on NBC, I don't think I've seen it.
Alright, well grab your phones right now, go to the App Store or the Play Store, search Quiz Up, download it, check it out. Apparently that game, the trivia app, is becoming a primetime TV game show on NBC. NBC is that desperate for good programming.
Is this going to be our game for this week? Are we doing a game this week?
Oh, that would be fun. We should have done that.
Why are you speaking in past tense?
I don't know.
We're recording right now.
Plan universe. For that.
We should have planned that. Yeah. Anyway, that's cool. I'm interested to see this app. It looks like it's designed nicely.
Okay, we're going to edit our plan on the fly here, Craig. So download it, and we'll play it as a game here in a second.
Yeah, I'm downloading it, yep.
Okay, awesome. Also, for Tech You Should Know, since we're still there, I guess, Skype has a real-time translator now built into the app, so you can video and audio call with people, and it will translate to another language, any of the, I think, 50 supported languages, which is pretty neat.
That's cool.
And Facebook has redesigned their profiles, mobile profiles, so your profile picture is in the center, and what it shows by default is a little bit different. You can also upload GIFs or moving video as your profile picture on Facebook now, which is crazy. Just the thing the world needed.
Hey, my profile picture is still on the left, and there's no update. Is that only in America so far?
Did you update the app?
Yeah, there's no updates pending, so it's up to date at the moment.
To be honest, I forget about Australia in most of my day. So
oh, my goodness.
It may be that this is just in America.
So offended right now. No, that's fine.
So just when like is it in the American. Center? Like on the news feed, it's on the center?
No, in your profile page.
Your profile.
It is updated for
mine's
me.
Mine's on the left. I need to update it, I suppose. But
okay, well, maybe I'm just wrong on this one. Would not be the
maybe
first
you got
time.
And you got it won't a virus.
Be the last. Yeah, I got a virus. Somebody hacked my Facebook.
That's a pretty weird hack, centering your profile picture.
They injected the code to center
Bam!
Your profile picture.
Really got you, Ben.
Yeah. Also this week, Back to the Future, one of the greatest movie trilogies
Woo-hoo!
Of all time, is
my
coming
favorite
to
movie.
Amazon Prime Video for the month of October.
Super excited. Because I don't have Amazon Prime Video, can someone just tell me what that actually means?
I will let you borrow my Amazon Prime Video. Is that ethical? If it's not ethical, I can't do it.
But what is it first? I'd be happy with just an explanation. I'm trying to read the article, but
oh, it's
I'm
like
trying to
Netflix.
Read the article while you do the news. So
it's literally
like
just like
Netflix.
Netflix.
Okay.
But you get it with Amazon Prime.
So because I've already got it on DVD, I don't need this anyway, right?
That's correct. You do not need it if you already have it on DVD.
Okay. Well, I'm still excited for those people who, for some whatever reason, you would not own Back to the Future.
I don't.
Well, we'll talk later. We'll have words about that. That's bizarre.
Okay, sounds good. Also, in Amazon this week, they are banning the sale of Apple TV and Google Chromecast from Amazon. Isn't that insane?
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
They want people to buy the Fire TV stick or the Fire TV. That's what it is.
Yeah,
wow.
I think that's a bad move. Yeah. I mean, of course, I'll still continue using Amazon because they can be evil and I still like their services. But yeah, I've been comparing it to if Google, being a search engine, stopped showing up Amazon. Like, yeah, because Amazon sells the Fire Stick, we're just not going to let Amazon show up. Because essentially, Amazon Store is a storefront to sell everything.
Yep.
And that's the service they provide, just like Google provides a search engine. So it's, it just seems strange.
I think that Google move would be quite a bigger dent on Amazon, probably.
Yeah. The impact, would be different, but I think the metaphor, the analogy is an accurate one, in my opinion.
I agree. Anything that closes down the internet is not a good thing, in my opinion. Also this week, as we move into some bigger news, Apple has released, and since Derek's not here, I'm going to say it this way, OS 10 El Capitan. You can download that on your Mac for free. It's a free upgrade. It really just streamlines the OS 10 Yosemite changes, so adds on some things that they probably didn't have time to finish before they released Yosemite. So everything's a little bit cleaner, more streamlined. It's good.
What do you guys think about the fact they've just shifted away from the whole cat family thing?
I don't know why it's still OS 10. I'm going to keep calling it OS 10 since Derek's not here, because I just think that's funny.
Yeah, but like they went, you know, through all the leopards and snow leopards and mountain lions and stuff.
Right.
And well, then they've just taken a detour into like a national park, and now what is this one about, naming-wise?
It's a mountain, I think. So is Yosemite.
Ah, okay, cool. Yeah.
But El Capitan is version 10.11, which just seems silly to me.
So Ben, Derek was the one who says OS X?
No, I say OS X.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I assume since Derek wasn't here, then you would have the freedom to call it OS X.
Yeah.
Without anyone calling you out on it. So I thought you were saying that Derek was the one who calls it OS X, but
I guess I'm just saying I want to save all of my OS X's for when he is here, so that way...
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
It's just an extra jab.
It's just an annoying thing for Derek that he has to try and edit out every time Ben says it wrong.
That'd be funny. It's Ben's voice, OS, and then Derek, 10.
10. Yeah.
Also from Apple this week, Apple Music, iTunes Movies, and iBooks are now available in China. So they have expanded into the Chinese market, which will be huge for their business because, what are there, 1 billion people in China now? Is that right? Something like that.
A lot.
It's a huge section of the of the global population.
Oh my goodness, Ben. You got to get American off the brain.
I'm sorry.
And finally, have you traveled outside of America other than that mission?
Yes, a bunch, actually.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to be outside of America in a month. In November, I'm going to Serbia. More on that later.
Cool.
Apple also this week announced that they sold 13 million iPhone 6S and 6S Plus in the opening weekend alone. Isn't that insane?
That's pretty big.
Yeah. The last bit of tech you should know this week from Google. Well, Google Maps is coming to the Apple Watch, which I think is a little silly. But also, they had a big keynote this week. The sort of the Nexus event where they announced a couple of interesting new things that Google's been working on this year, and I'll just list them off for any listeners who might be interested. They've released the Pixel C announced the Pixel C tablet, which is their iPad Pro competitor. They announced some new Google Chromecasts. There's two versions now, one that streams video and one that streams audio. Both are $35, and it's a little puck on a string basically now, rather than just the stick. Also, they announced a family plan for Google Music to catch up with Apple Music, same price. And I thought this was cool. There are 1.4 billion people using Android now.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep. And then also, they announced two new phones, the Nexus 5X and the Nexus 6P. And so, I'm putting a supercut in the show notes of the keynote event in 7 minutes, and then I'll also put a comparison chart for the new phones. Apparently the new phones are pretty sweet. I will never get an Android phone though, so I don't care. Hopefully we don't get a lot of backlash for that.
I have an Android phone.
I know. It's just not right for everybody. It's right for 1.4 billion people. I'm not one of them. No big deal. No hard feelings. I don't make everyone get an iPhone. Anyway, that ends.
You should.
yeah, that ends Tech You Should Know this week.
Let's move on to Tech You Should Use. This week, we're going to talk about something that I feel like could be a little controversial, because we're going to be talking about using Bing, and more specifically, Bing Rewards. But so I know that most people don't find Bing useful at all, except for in those ads where people compare Google to Bing, and they're like, I like this one, and it turns out to be Bing. No idea how true that is. But anyway, Bing Rewards is the program they have to actually give you money for using their search engine. So because they can't just simply get people to use their search engine, they have to pay people to use it. And for some of us, that works really well, because I have gotten roughly $50 from using Bing Rewards over the past 6 months or so. I could be a little off on that. Less than a year for sure, though. So yeah, all you do is you sign up for the program, you stay logged in, and as you search, it's about every two searches gives you a penny up to about a quarter a day. So you can make a quarter a day just off of searching every day, and it ends up being Amazon credit. And about once a month, I get $5 in Amazon credit. So yeah, what do you guys think about that? Is using Bing worth a quarter a day?
How much money do you make from it?
I have, Michelle and I, we've gotten about $50 in 6 months.
$50 in 6 months. I don't know. That might be worth it.
Yeah. It's just easy money that it's like, oh, we've accrued a good amount of money. Let's buy something fun on Amazon.
If you use Bing to do a search and then you go back and use Google to find what you actually wanted, do you still get the money from Bing?
Yeah. Yeah, they just let you use the searches, not for clicking on things. So,
you have to double search everything.
Because you can't actually find it. Sometimes on Bing, it gives you search suggestions. So I'll search one thing, and then to rack up my points for the day, I'll just click those search suggestions over and over again until the numbers climb until I'm done for the day. But most of the time, since I need to search a lot throughout the day, I usually finish up all the credits I can earn per day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I found Bing to be pretty good. It struggles specifically with some programming questions. If I try to find specific questions that I'm working on in software development, sometimes Bing fails me, and I'll switch over to Google and find the answer. But other than that, Bing can find. I mean, if you're asking like, what is the airspeed velocity of a unladen swallow? Type that into Bing; it'll find it just as well as Google. So.
Yeah.
Does it give you the little
Python reference you need of Google?
Does it give you the little text box at the top that shows you the answer to the question you asked?
Yes. Yeah, it does that.
It does. Okay.
On a lot of stuff. Yeah, one of the games you can play to earn credits is a quiz game where they ask you questions and you're supposed to use Bing to find the answer to it. And so you get credits for every question you get right. And so you just type it into Bing, and oftentimes, I'm sure they planned it this way, it'll show you the answer to the question if you type it out exactly. But the idea is that it'll do that for other of your questions as well. But yeah, aside from Amazon credit, you can get credit from tons of other stores, like the Microsoft Store. I don't know. I don't look at the other stores. I just use Amazon. So you can also use your credits to enter into raffles. And so if you're the gambling type, then you can use 40 credits to win a Surface Pro or an Xbox. And there's all sorts of little raffles you can earn. And then lastly, you can use the money to donate to different charities that they sponsor. So it's a pretty good program.
Nice.
And that's a wrap for Tech You Should Use.
All right, Craig, did you get a quiz up?
I did.
Do you guys want to play a game?
Message in the,
I have it as
my
well.
Message in the Skype chat about it?
Yeah. Oh, I did. But we could do it next
You're
week,
ignoring
too.
It. I don't mind. Whatever. Yeah, as long as we don't take heaps long, because I have a lot of stuff to do today. But yeah, we can try it. Let's go.
Let's do five questions. You picked the
I
topic.
I picked three categories. Do I need to tell you which categories I picked?
Or? Oh, yeah, totally. You got to tell us the categories.
Okay, because it made me go through this little wizard thing on the way in, and I chose general knowledge, logos, which is like identifying company logos, I guess, and name the celebrity.
Man.
If we get the identifying company logos thing, that'll make some great radio, I bet.
Yeah, it's a visual one, hey? But, oh, well. Yeah. So how do we play?
Ask Tank a question, and then ask me a question, and whoever has more points at the end gets to intro the next section.
And so, we're going to play Quiz Up.
New challenge, accept.
Nice. All right. This is so exciting. I've never played this game before. I'm just looking at the first question now. Round one, general knowledge. Precipitation is another name for... This is too easy. Precipitation is another name for which type of weather? Typhoon, heatwave, thunder, or rain?
Rain.
Good work, Ben.
First one to buzz in, I guess, gets it.
Yeah.
I totally cheated.
Round two.
I didn't care about the audience. I just.
What does the DC stand for in Washington, D.C.? Dallas City, Downtown City, District of Columbia,
District of Columbia.
I have a very major advantage because I'm not waiting for the question to be read.
That's not fair, Tank.
Tank, stop looking at your phone.
You're cheating.
Round three. Holly Go Lightly might have breakfast at what Fifth Avenue jewelry store? Bulgari,
no idea.
Cartier, Mikimoto, or Tiffany's?
No idea.
Breakfast
I'm at Tiffany's.
That's my guess. Tank wins this
okay.
one.
Okay. Round four. To which shipping line did the ill-fated Titanic belong? Blue Ribbon, P&O, Cunard Line, or White Star Line?
Zero clue.
It was White Star.
Yes.
Thanks.
I think that's 3-1 right now.
Round five of seven. In which U.S. city is the bar in Cheers located? Boston, Philadelphia, New York, San Francisco.
We'll holler it out.
Boston.
Which one, Tank? Boston.
Been there. Right. Boston. Yep.
3-2.
Cool. You've been to the Cheers bar? Okay, the Kakapo. The Kakapo is a flightless variety of which bird? Parrot, emu, ostrich, or hummingbird?
Don't know.
Emu. Ostrich. Nope, not emu.
Ostrich?
It's not ostrich either. It must be parrot. There you go.
It's the parrot.
The Kakapo is a type of parrot. Bonus round. Falaraki is located on which Mediterranean island? Crete, Rhodes, Majorca, or Cyprus?
Crete. Nope.
No!
Rhodes.
Rhodes, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
42.
That's pretty good. And I just got a new achievement. Two new achievements.
Oh, thank God you got achievements on Quiz Up.
I'm so excited about that. I'm going to Facebook share my new achievements on Quiz Up. So wait, they're turning this into a game show, is that right?
Yes.
So they're pretty much just reading quiz questions online and it's first to buzz in.
Well, I don't know if it'll be like what we just did.
Yeah,
it probably won't be.
Maybe the two contestants will just be staring at their phones and typing the buttons, and the audience won't even see the question.
It's the most nomophobic game ever.
That would be about right.
I feel like that was a pretty good way to run it, and, you know, yeah, I don't know. What else would you do? It's such a new concept, like answering quiz
questions.
What
else would you do? Maybe, I don't know, maybe something different. All right, that wraps up our game this week. God help us if we do this again. And that brings us into Theology from the Headlines. Theology from the Headlines this week, we're going to talk about internet mob justice.
What is it?
Okay, what is it? Good question. Internet mob justice is when someone does something in the world, like kill a lion, or harass girls that play video games, or, I don't know, there's been some more recent stuff too. And then, on Twitter or Facebook, or both, or a lot of Reddit stuff too, everyone attacks the person that they don't like, and they all sort of jump together on a bandwagon of hate for whatever the cause is that they don't like. And sometimes it may be justified, and sometimes it may be totally unjustified, but sometimes the response is completely unproportional to whatever the original event was. But that's the basic internet mob justice thing that has started to happen in our world.
Yeah, it happens on, I mean, a lot of this, from what I could tell in the article, it seemed like a fair bit of it was happening on Twitter, is that right? Was it mainly?
Yes.
Twitter, yeah. I think a lot of it happens on Facebook as well. It's probably across all social media. I don't see it as much on Instagram. Instagram seems pretty chilled. Like, people are just looking at photos and commenting. And,
yeah, I've never seen any hate speech on Instagram. I'm sure it's out there, but I've not seen it personally. Although, I hardly ever get on Instagram, so.
People probably just post pictures that are really inflammatory or something. But anyway. But yeah, I guess Facebook is a big one for this, because especially because you can write as much as you want on Facebook, which is sometimes a bad thing. Because people can go on big diatribe rants about people. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about it, Tank?
I know as far as the method, another place that I've seen it done was on YouTube with Jimmy Kimmel bashed YouTube gaming. He had a skit that made fun of people who enjoyed watching other people game. And that skit was posted on YouTube, and people were telling him to get cancer and telling him insults like that, yeah, all over the place. And so he came back on his show later and read the insults and kind of laughed them off, and then did it again because there's a whole new slew of them, and they're just terrible insults. But as
that
far
sounds
as-
like, sorry, that sounds similar to what Ellen. Have you ever seen Ellen's show when she gets celebrities to read out really hateful tweets about themselves?
No, I've never seen that.
That sounds funny though.
It's just I think I'm pretty sure it's Ellen, and it's just a segment she does. She has like whatever big name movie star, and they have to read out like hate speech tweets about themselves on screen. It's kind of awkwardly funny or something. Sometimes it's just awkward.
I think Barack Obama did that on Jimmy Fallon once in the last few months. Maybe it wasn't Jimmy Fallon. He did it though at one point.
He goes on the Ellen show as well. He gets his dance on, so it could have been there. Who knows?
Do they have Ellen in Australia?
They show Ellen. It's like, yeah, daytime TV, like lunchtime or something.
Oh, okay.
On one of the channels, yeah.
Well, cool. That was off topic, sorry.
Yeah.
And also with the Cecil the Lion thing, I know I saw a picture of his dental practice. People had put a bunch of stuffed lions in front of his, mm-hmm. in front of the office and signs on it. So people will extend it to beyond just social media websites. They find their email. They probably send them tons of hate mail and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's just limited to Facebook and Twitter, although
so
that's
two
probably
things.
The start.
You just made it sound like a lion owns a dental practice. And also, did you say Cecil? Is that how you guys pronounce it?
That's how I pronounce that, yeah. Yeah, okay. Cecil or Cecil, but I
yeah,
more
Cecil.
Commonly say Cecil.
Cecil is what we would say, I think. But, okay, cool. All right, I'm learning.
Yeah, there's a big sign on this guy's the door of his business that says Rotten Hell.
Nice. Lovely. Really friendly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is obviously an issue that, I mean, people are going to, there's a couple of things I think. On a surface level, I personally, when I see stuff online that I just think is really wrong, there is something in me that, if you know, I'm being honest here, there is something in me that wants to throw my two cents in the ring, if you know what I mean. Like, I want to have my say and add my voice to the, sometimes to say, you know, yeah, I agree, this isn't right, we shouldn't be doing this. Now, so that can be helpful if it's an issue like abortion or something where it's clearly it is wrong and it is worth campaigning against. But often, at times I've been sort of convicted by that. There's that meme that says, you know, Timothy sees something that he doesn't like on the internet and he keeps going and just ignores it. Well done, Timothy, kind of thing. Like, rather than becoming a keyboard warrior and taking it upon yourself to join the mob and or create a mob, I guess. And
we
so
need more keyboard warriors in the world.
You reckon?
No, okay. I don't reckon that at all. That was a joke.
Yeah. Sarcasm. There's so insert many. Sarcasm here. So that's kind of one thing where I kind of think, okay, well, on a personal level, like, I've never been part of a mob in terms of just hounding someone's character and stuff like that. I'm not trying to say that I'm a terrible internet user who hates on everyone, but I guess at times I've commented on things I probably just don't need to. So I found that sort of thought-provoking. But also in the article, just reading There's just a couple of things, like, I guess, in terms of how we can think about this or how we should think about this. Part of the article that... have we said where the article comes from that you
got? No, this? We didn't. This one this week is from Vox.
Okay, yep. So, the Vox article, I was reading that says, the internet mob determines the severity of a crime based on subjective factors such as how unlikable they find the alleged criminal to be, how likable they find the victim, and the degree to which the alleged crime fits into their preconceived beliefs. You'll notice that most of these trace back to the crimes, not to the crime's impact on society, but rather the degree to which punishing the crime will feel good for the punishers. That's a pretty telling thing for me in terms of, you know, justice is supposed to be so that right comes out of a wrong situation. And the way that that happens, I guess, particularly in a legal sense, they don't always get it right. But that, like the article said, it's pretty heavily regulated to try and make sure that people get a fair hearing and all that kind of thing. If you are just leaving it up to individuals to kind of make a decision based on, oh, I like the victim, they seem like a nice person, and the perpetrator doesn't seem like a nice person, so I'm just going to start destroying their livelihood and attacking their family and all sorts of things. Like, that just seems so off base to me, and when you look at it like that, it sounds a bit ridiculous that people would kind of jump headlong into, if they actually were able to take some time and analyze their reasons for doing so. But clearly we know the internet isn't always a place of level-headed judgment and reflection.
Yeah, I think one of the things that interests me is every cause seems to get dumped into a bucket with every other cause. And so we sort of have a flattening out of the severity of certain issues. Hard to think of an example, but it'd be like saying that murder is the same as, I don't know, lying to someone.
Yeah.
I guess both, I mean, obviously as Christians, we would say both are sin and both, you know, the wages of sin is death, and that applies to both of those things, of course. And maybe from a Christian perspective, that makes it easier to flatten those out. But certainly the circumstances that follow those two actions are completely different. And yet in the internet world, it doesn't matter what the cause is. It's just as detrimental and dangerous and horrible and ridiculous and awful and insane as any other thing. And so the same moral outrage that we have is across the board, no matter what the issue is, which just seems crazy to me. I feel like if we thought about it for a little bit, we wouldn't come to that conclusion. Because these are such different issues. Each one we could do an entire show on. It's completely different from the last. But for some reason, we group them all together and express this moral outrage over the internet almost to a fault.
That's true. And I think part of the reason that this is a really... I find this topic really interesting is because I've kind of seen it firsthand in a way. In that, do you guys remember the Invisible Children thing a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
With Coney?
Yeah, with Coney, yes. 2012 or whatever it was. So, Invisible Children, people who don't know, just a quick rundown. They're a bunch of guys who studied, I think they were studying filmmaking. They ended up going to Africa to make their final film project for university or college or whatever. And they ended up discovering that there were still child soldiers in Uganda that, you know, kind of no one in the West had really known about. That was still going on. Kids were being kidnapped and turned into child soldiers. So they made a documentary about it where they actually spoke to a bunch of the child soldiers and sort of hung out with them. And I think they may have spoken to some of the bad guys as well. I'm not sure. They at least got footage of them and stuff, I think. Anyway, and then they did a second campaign a few years later to try and sort of promote, like, let's get the whole world on board with this issue because we really need to stop it. Now, I can't remember exactly what the trigger was, whether it was just because it went so viral and people thought that it shouldn't go viral, or there was people were questioning their motives and, like, is filmmaking really going to, you know, is making a movie and getting everyone to know about it really going to help, and what are their financials like, and, you know, has all the money that people have been donating, has that actually helped rescue enough people and all this kind of stuff. I'd met some people who were... In fact, I knew a guy from Australia who'd gone on the Invisible Children team to go and take the film to churches and stuff like that. People from Invisible Children had come to our church and because the guys who originally started it were Christians, I think, and so they came to our church and just said, look, this is a social justice issue that needs dealing with, and so we would just want to get people aware. And I didn't see that as a bad thing. I was kind of the opinion, like, thank you for letting me know. Thanks for, and if I can help in some way, that's a good thing. I should help with that. But yeah, just to see the hatred that people started having towards the main, like the CEO guy, I guess, in particular. Mm. And he ended up in a bad way with some mental health sort of breakdown stuff in public happening. And I just thought it was really sad and not a very, like, even if you weren't a Christian, I think you could look at that situation. If you're honest with yourself, you could look at that situation and go, what have we done collectively as internet land? What have we done to this person? And is the punishment actually measuring up to the crime? Do you know what I mean? Like, if there is a crime, it just seems so unfair to me that, and I don't remember all the circumstances, but at the time I just remember thinking, yeah, maybe the guy's not perfect. No one is. But the punishment is definitely outweighing what people are claiming the crime to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of on that, something I'd be interested in chatting about, on just seeing justice done and how Christians should react to justice. I think we all definitely agree that we shouldn't kind of partake in this mob justice style that we've seen bad things come out of. But, you know, my wife and I, we've been reading the Psalms together and just praying through them together and talking about them. We try to do that each morning for a while. And, you know, one thing we notice a lot in the Psalms are just all the prayers of the God to bring justice on the wicked. And I remember one in particular that was just super intense, and I found it, is Psalm 58:10. The righteous will be glad when they are avenged, when they dip their feet in the blood of the wicked. And I mean, that's one of the most intense ones, but we see that a lot, is just the psalmist, whoever it is, praying that God bring justice on the wicked, and sometimes to very specific and intense degrees. What do you guys think about a Christian now praying those kinds of prayers?
Yeah, I think that's interesting, Tank, because I looked at some scripture as well, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I had looked in the New Testament and came out with something, I guess, quite different that kind of gave me a different take on this whole issue. And obviously, scripture doesn't actually contradict itself anywhere. We don't believe that that's true. So this is, you know, Psalm 58, for example. I'm just looking at verse 10 now. It is pretty full on. And I think context has a lot to do with it in terms of, you know, people, the situation that David was in when he was writing this, and some of this being human, you know, him as a person talking to God, venting his frustration, venting his anger, wanting things to be made right for him in his situation. I think that's a natural thing, and justice is a good thing to pray for. I think what we all need to realize, and hopefully most of us do, though, is that this is a prayer from a human to God. The way that God answers that prayer is then God's decision. Do you know what I mean? So ultimately, the good thing, I mean, it seems harsh, some of the language that the psalmist, in this case, David, uses. But at the same time, he's not saying, I'm just going to go and cut everyone's head off and make a bloodbath. He's saying, God, will you be the one that brings justice about? And so in that way, I think he's saying what he would like to happen, and then he's giving it to God and allowing God to be the actual provider of justice, I guess, or the source of true justice, rather than just taking everything into his own human hands and trying to bring about his preferred outcome. What do you guys think about that? Does that make sense or not?
Yeah, I like that a lot. One of the things that we talked about kind of on that, and it just as Michelle and I trying to work out how we can pray those things. I really like the concept of what you just said. I hadn't thought of it specifically that way, saying that we want to see justice, but I'm letting you, God, choose how you do that. And I just think of Romans, where God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
Yeah.
But so one way One way we kind of thought about it is that God will mete out justice on everybody. And there's two ways he can do that. The first will be done what we all deserve, which is hell at the end of time, where God judges us sinful and rebellious and sends us to hell to be punished for all eternity. And so that's one form of justice that will happen no matter what. And the other form of justice is the justice that he, that Christ met on the cross, where Christ took our punishment for us in our place, and we can be declared righteous before God. So to pray for justice to be done on a person, that prayer can be answered in the affirmative by them accepting Christ. I think a lot of times I've heard people like, don't pray that they'll receive justice in the form of death or whatever, pray that they'll receive Jesus. But I think just praying for them to receive justice is praying for them to receive Jesus, because that's one of the ways that God can mete out justice. Does that make sense? What do you guys think of that concept?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's really beautiful also. I was also going to add, isn't it interesting that Jesus sees all the injustice in the world and does something about it, rather than just, I mean, obviously this is anachronistic, but rather than just getting on his Twitter feed and commenting about how horrible the world is, he actually goes and dies in our place. He actually lives in our place, perfectly righteous before the Father, rather than just talking about how horrible things are. You know, he goes into the temple and turns the tables over on the money changers. I mean, he's a very active individual when it comes to justice, rather than just going and talking about, because, I mean, in reality, internet mob justice is not justice. Getting online to talk about how terrible someone is doesn't change anything. It just makes the people who already feel like that person was terrible feel like vindicated in that feeling. That's it. It doesn't change that guy. Like, Caesar the Lion is still dead. I don't know if it stopped further hunting like that. But my guess would be that this culture of internet mob justice is really just fueling its own fire. I don't know if it's actually changing minds or helping save the lives of lions, for example. Obviously, there are other examples we've talked about.
Yeah, I think two things. I think Jesus is a great, is obviously the perfect example. And something that we aren't. We're not perfect, although we are. You know, our sanctification is ongoing. We're becoming more like him by the grace of God. So he's a great example, and he's a perfect example of not just saying something about something, but actually taking action. I guess the amazing thing, or the thing that is awesome about that, is his sense of right and wrong, his sense of what true justice is and what that needs to look like, is perfect. And ours isn't always. And so we need to, I think that's why, with social justice, like if you're campaigning, like we said before, if you're campaigning for the lives of the unborn, or if you're campaigning for homeless people or whatever it is, if you're, you know, if there's a social justice issue that you are trying to, fix because everyone's made in the image of God, and you are trying to, work towards everyone recognizing each other as that, then that's great. When it becomes more of a, civil justice, you know, like penalties, imprisonment, stuff like that. That's where I kind of think, you know, don't destroy someone's livelihood. Don't put hell notices on their business doorway. You know, if it's illegal, allow them to be dealt with by the law. If you want to pray for justice to be done, go ahead and do that. In terms of scripture, though, like I was saying earlier, the other one that I wanted to just bring out was from Romans. Tank has already mentioned it, but I just wanted to read a bit, if that's okay. Are you guys okay with that or not?
Yep.
Cool. So, just Romans 12. Are you okay with it, Ben?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, awesome. Romans 12, 9 and following. It's actually called Marks of the True Christian. So, this is what I sort of came to when I was thinking about this whole issue of mob justice. It says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." So, the first verse says that it's okay to abhor what is evil. So, if something is evil, we should be not happy with that. Then it goes on to say, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And then verse 14 and onwards is kind of where it gets really interesting on this issue. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Pretty sure there's a few keyboard warriors who are wise in their own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that, I mean, that passage is pretty self-explanatory. I don't need to follow that up with a lot of talking other than to say, go back to the very top of the paragraph and look at what the heading was. It was marks of the true Christian. So I think if we are calling ourselves Christians who use the online space, then that's something that I'd be wanting to keep in mind on the issue of justice.
I've got to tell one story since you read that passage.
Okay.
Romans 12, verse 19, vengeance is mine, the one that Tank brought up. somewhat recently after I was converted, I visited a place that I used to hang out a lot before I was converted. And so that group of people obviously had one view or version of me that they knew very well, pre-Christian Ben. Tank knows that guy as well. and one guy who really didn't like me at the time, and probably justifiedly so, saw me, said hello, and was leaving in his car, and flipped me off in the car. He really didn't like me. And that verse came to mind, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so I just kind of smiled and just shook it off. And then he was, as he was backing his car out of the parking lot, he slammed into a dumpster. Which I just thought was so funny.
I don't know whether to be happy or
fine. I actually ran over there and I was like, oh my gosh, is your car okay?
Okay, cool. So you did the
but
right
I just, after the fact, I thought about it and I went and looked up that verse and I was like, that's really kind of funny.
Nice.
So,
yeah. And then you followed up with the following part. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. So you, if your enemy has backed into a dumpster, go make sure he's okay.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You followed up with it.
Good work, Ben.
I think I have to end theology from the headlines this week with an XKCD comment. Nice. With an XKCD post. It says, there's a voice off screen. Are you coming to bed? And then there's a guy sitting at a keyboard in front of a computer. And he says, I can't. This is important. And the voice says, what? And then he says, someone is wrong on the internet.
Nice.
We can post that in the show notes. So that ends Theology from the Headlines this week. You guys got any recos this week?
Yep, I do. I am recoing a movie this week and a podcast, so two things in one. A movie my wife and I watched recently last year when I was at a school teaching some English. The class that I was in was reading this book. It's called The Giver by Lois Lowry. It was written in the 90s sometime. We recently watched the movie. We cheated and watched the movie, me and my wife, because we thought that would be fun. And it was, I was surprised. It was a little bit different to the book, I think. Fairly faithful, but I just was really interested in, I guess, there was a lot of Reformed theology themes that kind of came out through even just the dialogue in the movie. There was some really pro-life stuff happening in there as well. So I won't spoil it, but it's just really interesting movie, basically about a utopian society in a dystopian world, I guess is how you describe it. And there's one guy in particular who's called The Giver, who has like the memories of the past, And then there's a receiver of those memories. So there's one person who knows how the world used to be and one person who gets given that new knowledge to benefit people in the future. But other than that, everything is shut off from the old world because it was too dangerous and humans were making bad decisions all the time and stuff. So, really interesting movie, some interesting theological stuff to talk about that comes out of it. And I actually recommended, I've been listening a little bit lately to the Popcorn Theology podcast, which is another one of the podcasts in the Reform Pub network, as far as I understand. So I just tweeted to those guys on Twitter saying, you know, might be worth doing an episode on this. And they did do an episode on it. And they thanked me for recoing it to them, although they just called me Twitter guy because they couldn't remember my name, which is fine. But check out the episode they did, and also check out the movie The Giver. It's really good.
My reco for the week is rock climbing. My wife and I have been rock climbing a lot recently, not outside, sadly, so they're not real rocks. Anyway, we have a rock climbing gym in the town I live in, and it's a blast. I don't work out as far as go to a normal gym where they have bench pressing weights and squats and all those cool things. But I enjoy more of just activity and things that seem more of a goal than making the number of weights I can push higher. And I mean, if that's your thing, then great. I sometimes wish I was good at that, but the rock climbing is just a fun challenge because you have to find these routes and you have to really struggle through them to get all the way across them. It's just gives you a good workout, works out weird parts of your body, like your forearms. And so, yeah, we have a lot of fun, my wife and I. So if you're looking for just a new way to work out, the typical approach doesn't work for you, try out rock climbing.
Nice. I also have a reco this week. One of my favorite podcasts, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. This might seem like a weird recommendation, but these guys are really funny and they know a lot about what they talk about. It's a pretty secular podcast and they talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, I mean, if language bothers you, ignore this. And if you don't care about the Marvel movies, then ignore this. But if you are still listening after those two caveats, I'm putting an iTunes link and a website. They just talk about this summer did a watch through of all of the Marvel movies from the first Iron Man movie up to Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man this summer. And then throughout the year, they do a cast after every episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so for the beginning of the show, they just talk about the news in the Marvel comics and movies world. And then they do a recap of the latest episode or movie that came out. And it's pretty good. And I enjoy listening to it because I'm a big old nerd. So you guys might also. Also this week, we are featuring a new segment. This will be pretty quick, called Listener Feedback. So this week, we're going to bring in some feedback we got from the Slack channel and on Twitter. From the Slack channel, Paul Harrison recommends Harry's. They have a new iPhone app. This is a shaving company. You can download their app, and they'll send you blades or razors. It's pretty low cost and high quality. So thanks, Paul, for that recommendation. And on Twitter this week, Steven Gutierrez recommended, he listened to the last episode where we talked about different Bible apps, and he recommended the fact that Grace to You has a Bible app. So if you go to gtybibleapp.com, you can see their new Bible app for iPhone and Android and check that out. It's pretty sleek, looks pretty nice, and it also has some of the features that we talked about with Blue Letter Bible last week. So thank you, Steven, for that recommendation. And if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can join our Slack channel at slack.techreformation.com. Fill out a little web form, it'll send you an email, and you just follow the instructions from there, and you'll be right in talking with us and a bunch of other listeners.
Cool. And if you want to connect with us on social media, we are on. You can follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation. We also have a Facebook page for Tech Reformation, so jump on either of those places and connect with us there. And you can also check out our website, techreformation.com.
The other way you can contact us is via email. Send us an email to ask@techreformation.com. You can send us questions, feedback, comment, whatever you have. And we will receive it and send you a reply shortly.
And if you like this music you're listening to, it's by Matthew Parker. He's letting us use all of his stuff for free, which we're really grateful for. He's got some great music, which you can find on SoundCloud and on iTunes. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Be funny if we gave Derek the hardest time editing this week.
Just have pauses between our words. And
yeah,
this is Tank. And this is Tank.